sponsor maybe. Psalm 91, 14 to 16 is the first reading, and Psalm 51 afterwards is the responsive reading. Okay. Because he has loved me, therefore I will deliver him. I will set him securely on high because he has known my name. He will call upon me and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will rescue him and honor him. With a long life I will satisfy him and let him behold my salvation.
Psalm 51?
51. I will lead off. Be gracious to me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the greatness of thy compassion, blot out my transgressions.
Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin.
For I know my transgressions and my sin is ever before me.
Against thee only have I sinned and done what is evil in thy sight. So thou art justified when thou dost speak, and blameless when thou dost judge.
Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me.
Behold, thou dost desire truth in the innermost being, and in the hidden part thou wilt make me know wisdom.
Purify me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow.
Make me to hear joy and gladness. Let the bones which thou hast broken rejoice.
Hide thy face from my sins and blot out all my iniquities.
Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me.
Do not cast me away from thy presence, and do not take thy Holy Spirit from me.
Restore to me the joy of thy salvation, and sustain me with a willing spirit.
Then I will teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners will be converted to thee.
Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. Then my tongue will sing of thy righteousness.
O Lord, open my lips, that my mouth may declare thy praise.
For thou dost not delight in sacrifice, otherwise I would give it. Thou art not pleased with burnt offerings.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise.
By thy favor, do good to Zion. Build the walls of Jerusalem.
Then thou wilt delight in righteous sacrifices, in burnt offering and whole burnt offering. Then young bulls will be offered on thine altar. So what is our reading this morning?
Wow. That's a really powerful psalm, isn't it? I mean, one of the things I hope you glean from it is that people have been into the confession of sin and the receiving of forgiveness for a long time. That's what it says. They've dealt with it seriously for centuries. Hallelujah. That means we can do it too, right? We do it differently, perhaps, since the sacrifice of Christ, but we do the same thing. All right. So the Lord shredded my sermon this morning, and I was still in my pajamas at 9:10. When my daughter came in and reminded me that I couldn't preach in my pajamas, although this is a fantasy that I have that someday I should just come in my pajamas and preach, because people shop in their pajamas, vote in their pajamas. You know, they do all kinds of things in their pajamas these days. And I say, well, why? Why can't I do that? Why can't I be in my pajamas? I will spare you and not come in my pajamas. But. And the reason the Lord shredded my sermon is because I stuffed the one he shredded full of illustrations that spoke basically to me. And I said, that's really stupid. How are people going to get anything out of that if the illustrations are out of your own space? So I repented, and I thought, Lord, what would you have me talk about? And what I think he would have me talk about is sacrifice, self-denial, and suffering. We have been called to a life of sacrifice, self-denial, and suffering. I think this was brought home to me recently because being incompetent as a human being, we all are struggling with that, I failed to get a couple items on my shopping list and had to go back at 10 o'clock to complete the list so that I could be the complete man on Saturday morning, have everything that the church needed for their meal. And when I walked back into the store, she was there. She is this homeless woman that I see around town that I've had some interaction with over the years. And she was there in her black gabardine, hunched over her huge borrowed shopping cart. And in that cart was everything she has, wrapped up in little bags to keep them from the weather. And she was alone, and she was wet. And I think she was hungry because she was there buying food for something to eat. And you couldn't get around her. It was wonderful. You couldn't avoid her. People tried, but there was only one checkout counter. So when she got in the checkout counter, she became unavoidable. She became someone that you're going to have to deal with. Isn't the Lord wonderful? And I stood there and watched in amazement as five people, including yours truly, struggled with how to deal with the woman with the cart. And then I said, I guess this is my problem. Because I can't believe that Jesus would have had a problem. Do you? Certainly not. And so what we have to say is, okay, Lord, I get it. This crazy woman, by the way, I say that with compassion because she is right out of her mind, who is out in the weather suffering all kinds of extremity, has been put in my path so that I might manifest Christ to her. That's my job, right? Not to show her who I am, but to show her who he is. Does she need Christ? Yeah. And how is God trying to arrange for her to meet Christ? By putting her fat dab in the middle of my unavoidable life. Got it? Wow. I felt very convicted. I felt very broken. I felt very awkward. And so did everyone else. May the Lord have mercy on us. We are called to a life of what? Sacrifice, self-denial, and suffering. Oh, I thought I came to church to be happy. No. Jesus didn't say, come unto me that I might make you happy. Did he? No. Good. Thank you for that assent. So, I want you to know, I wasn't going to preach on homelessness until God put homelessness in my path. And then I realized that instead of illustrating from Shakespeare or from My Fair Lady or something less dated, you know, like current, maybe I should go to Scripture and say, hey, homelessness. Who do we know that was homeless in Scripture? Paul. Did you know that? Do you know about Paul's accommodations? When you're in prison, you are what? Homeless. Why are you homeless in prison? Because prison is your home, and it doesn't belong to you. You know, the great thing about prison is you don't pay the rent. You don't have to repair the facility. That's other people's responsibility. You can just sort of sit in the cell and freeload, because some do. Homelessness. I began to think about that. Jesus was homeless. Yes, I know he owned a home. Yes, I know, temporarily. Yes, I know that he slept indoors sometimes, outdoors other times. But I want to talk about Paul. And I want to talk about why Paul was homeless. Do you know why Paul was homeless? For the sake of the gospel. He was homeless so that you might have a home. He made himself nothing so that you might have riches in heaven. He was willing to deny himself, kick out his household idols, lay down his life, suffer abuse, be beaten, be tried, be ridiculed, be mocked, be insulted for your sake. And we are called to do the same. And I have to say, how's it going for us? Yeah, how are we doing on that? We can't even bring ourselves to talk to a stranger. I'm embarrassed to talk to a stranger. Oh my goodness gracious, people. If anyone would follow me, they must deny themselves, pick up their cross, and follow me. What does it profit a man if he gained the whole world and lose his own soul? Let's get our priorities straight. Before the church can happen out here, the church has to happen in here. In me, in you, in us. It happens in here first. And then we can, with integrity, enact it out here. And when people come in, they not only see the church in the building, they see the church in the people, and they see the church in your heart. Isn't that wonderful to consider? So we all have to become homeless for Christ's sake. We have to be willing to put the things of God in such a place of priority that we would suffer the loss of all things. And God's people said, amen. Amen. You see, it becomes easier to face the vicissitudes and challenges and threats of life when you know that your home is in heaven and secure, and you're living for that, not for this. So God shredded the sermon I had. It was useless sentimentality and very personal, and you can talk to me about it on your own. I love to talk about Shakespeare. You know that. You prick me and I bleed. King Lear. No, I was going to talk to you about a life led by faith. You remember the eight provisions that were read to us this morning from Psalm 91, which we've been reviewing and thinking about, right? And suddenly it hit me. Folks, there is no contradiction between living the life provided by God by grace through faith and the homelessness of Paul. Do you see? They come together. They are one. Paul picked up his cross daily, denied himself, and followed Jesus. And what are you supposed to, what did we say we wanted to do when we came to be? We said we want to be a Christian. You want to be a Christian? Well, then you want to suffer. Then you want to sacrifice. Then you want to deny yourself. It's not about me. It's about him. And that helps us get out of an awful lot of traps. Amen, brothers and sisters? You know what I mean? A lot of temptations fall to the side when we make that. When we hear the Lord saying, you don't worry about them. You don't compare yourself to them. You follow me. Now, who do you say that to? Peter. Peter was worried about John. Huh, John, you really like John. You know, I think you favor him. I think you like him better than you like me, Lord. And Jesus looks at him and says, mind your own business. You follow me. Wow, that's bracing, isn't it? Maybe you would have preferred the other sermon. I know that Shakespeare is my kind of thing, and you're my friends, so you indulge me, and may God bless you. I thank you. But heaven help me if you leave the church today and say something like, when someone says, what was the sermon about? You say, it was about Shakespeare. I don't think so. Or you say, oh, it was about My Fair Lady. What the heck is that? They'll look at you and say, oh, it was a show, you know, 40 years ago. It was a hit in Broadway. And you kind of go, I never saw that show. Okay. Actually, I'm not talking about Shakespeare, and I'm not talking about Liza Doodlum. I'm saying, let's suppose in your heart, in your mind, you go to Hannaford's, and you meet the Apostle Paul in the parking lot, and it's raining. He's out there with everything he's got in his little cart. And he looks a little disheveled, you know, dark and suspicious. You think what'd you do with your razor, Paul? You're not real clean shaven. And boy, you stink. Because you see, there was no shower in his tent. Do you understand? No shower. You say that to teenagers and they nearly die. What do you mean? I can't get my daily shower. Sacrifice. Suffering. Self-denial. We freak out if we don't have our comforts. Well, how are we doing? What is God saying about our comforts? If you can't give up your comforts for the sake of the gospel, you are not worthy of the gospel. Ow. I was talking about a robust faith. Does that sound robust to you? I count all things lost and worthless except this, knowing Christ. Is that you? Is that us? Is that what's being manifested in our walk? Oh, yes, everyone knows about my cross. Do you? Do you even know me? You understand what I mean? We sat around the other day and we talked about each other in front of each other, so it's not gossip. I don't dig gossip, but I do dig having people say, would you please share with me what is really going on with you? Because I would really like to pray for your blessing and your help and your strength. So I have to be painfully transparent. I can tell you what I'm suffering with. You want to pray for me? My children have left me for the most part. They have grown up. They have abandoned me. How dare they do that to their father? I'm trying to be humorous because this is really painful. I'm having a hard time adjusting to them not being there because I love them and I value what we've had together. And now I'm looking at that dissipate. I'm struggling with that. You think you could lift me up in that respect? I would appreciate it. You all have your struggles like that, and some of you I know well enough to be able to pray for you. And I value that. So, I want us to get back to our first love. I want us to get back to Jesus. I want us to get back to hearing him say, if you want to be my disciple, you must deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. For I tell you, no one who gives up anything in this life will not receive back 100-fold, both now and in the age to come. Well, do you believe him? Do you believe that what you suffer here and lose here, you gain there? Do you? So we meet Paul in the parking lot with his cart. I wrote this little dialogue. I don't claim that it's really great, but I'd like to share it with you. You say something like, hey, Paul, old buddy, old pal. You're looking a little rough tonight. Wow. I mean, look at you. You're wet and dirty and scruffy. Did you lose your razor, Paul? Oh, just a little joke. what's happened to you, Paul? You look pretty cut up. Where'd you get those bruises? Maybe I should get you to the ER. Do you mind if I get something from the store to dress your wounds? Could I get you some antiseptic? Can I get you some antibiotic cream? Would you let me dress your face? Is that what we do? Paul, my friend, O homeless one, why are your clothes so worn out? Who did this to you? Do you want me to call someone? Where are you going to spend the night? Oh, you're homeless? How'd you get to be homeless? I counted all things loss except knowing Jesus, and it made me homeless. I think we have to be careful what we assume about the homeless, amen? Sometimes you get into the sociology and you're just kind of brain dead. But we go on and we say, Paul, you look hungry. What kind of pizza do you like? Can I get you a sub? What's your favorite topping? What's happening here? In my conversation with Paul, what am I doing? Can someone tell me? What? Trying to get to know him. What do I need to do? I need to get to know him. Paul, would you like to come home with me? I have a spare bedroom. You can stay with us. Of course, if you need to preach, I understand. Do you? It is for your benefit that I stay. It is for your benefit that I suffer. It's for your benefit that I am homeless. It is good for you that I am going through all of this that you might come to salvation. Well, what are we going through? So that others might come to salvation. So if you want to stay at my place, you can, but of course I have to ask my wife. What? You see, sometimes in the very way we approach him, we're avoiding him. Do you get that? Why would you have to ask your wife? What do you think Lynn would say if I called her up and I said, honey, the Apostle Paul wants to spend the night with us. Do you have a problem with that? What do you think she would say?
Why are you calling me?
Why are you calling me, you idiot? Excuse me. She might say that. Bring him home. Let's have something to do with him. So I take you back to the store. It was awkward, remember? Remember how awkward that was? Well, I want to tell you something. When you suffer, when you're bruised, when you're battered, when you're tattered, your friends are going to feel awkward around you. And yet, what do we need to do? When we see a brother or sister who is suffering for the gospel's sake, what are we going to do? I think we need to be called to lay down our life, make sacrifice, enter into their suffering, join them. You see, the beautiful thing about Paul is he was more driven by our needs than his own needs. How about you? Are you more driven about the needs of your neighbors than you are your own needs? Really? Are we sacrificing? Are we denying ourselves? Are we picking up our cross? Are we being crucified with him? See, the question I have to ask, and I ask this, and maybe you want to join me, is why, Lord, am I not more driven by the things that drove you? I know if I ran into Jesus in the parking lot, I would invite him home. Why can't I get past my discomfort and speak a kind word to someone who is suffering? Why can't I do that? So it's not an image thing, amen? You see, the world creeps in and you want to know if you're looking good. Who the heck cares? Really? What are we living for? I want to make sure I have the right clothes and I do the right moves. And I'm really concerned about fixing things out there. You know, the government, the education. I'm going to fix the church. I'm going to fix you. And what does the Lord say to that? Heal thy self. Get it right in here, and you will get it right out there. So I admit that my heart is timid and distracted, even though I'm a ton bolder than many of you. And I admit that my heart is just as evasive. You understand, if I could have walked around that woman to tell you the truth, I would have. But the Lord didn't let me get away with that. Do you see? He said, hey, is this real or not? Do you love her or not? And if you love her, what are you going to be able to do? Overcome my fear. Walk past the awkwardness. Get out of the situation by turning to her and saying very simply, may God bless you. Have a good night. Do you know what those words were to her? More than she had heard all flipping day. Wasn't much. Unless, of course, you knew what I went through to get there. If you would follow me, you must deny yourself, pick up your cross, and follow. So I need to be aware that although I'm terrified of strangers and I'm a very private person, if I am distressed enough over their eternal condition, I will step out and say something. In other words, if I'm more self-protective than I'm obedient, I am in deep doo-doo. Do you understand that? What does it matter if you die? What does it matter? You get to go to heaven. You get to be with Jesus. You get the reward of all your endeavors. That sounds like a really great deal, doesn't it? Do you believe it? Will you act on it? Deny yourself. Pick up your cross and follow me. So, I have to tell you, I'm pretty wrapped up in my own stuff. More wrapped up in my own stuff than I ought to be. And I have to admit that I have encumbered my life with cares that I front-loaded into it. No one else. You understand what I'm saying to you? If my house is a mess and cluttered and in places it is, do you know who put that stuff there? Do you know who left his laundry on the floor? Do you know? I did. I can't turn around and say, oh, those gremlins, they're always putting my dirty laundry on the floor. No. I have got to address the mess that I front load into my life. Deal with it in here, and then you can deal with it out there. But don't try to deal with it out there if you're not willing to deal with it in here. You want to be the church? Be the church in your heart. No one but me put that stuff in my life. Did you know that no one has to do me in? Because I'm doing myself in just fine on my own? How about you? Do you understand what I'm saying? Who got me into this mess? Tell me. I did. Right? Do you see that? I don't blame my mama. I don't blame my papa. I don't blame my background. I don't blame my culture. I'm the one who cluttered my life with all of these cares, all of these idols, all of these things that don't matter a damn. Excuse me. But I precisely mean that. Okay? So I said it. They don't matter. And she won't know that they don't matter if I don't speak to her out of the love of Christ, with kindness in my heart. She'll never know. I need to be converted. How about you? And when do I need to be converted? Every single day. Every hour. I need to be converted. Do you know what I'm saying? I need to get back to the essentials. I need to get back to saying, your way, Lord, not mine. Your ends, Lord, not mine. Your interests, Lord, not mine. I'm going to die to myself every hour of every day as long as I need to until I get it right. Because I heard Jesus say, if you would be my disciple, You must deny yourself, take up your cross, and follow me. So my life has got to be full of repentance. I need to repent to my household idols, my pet peeves, my hobby horse thoughts. You see, I'm much more comfortable talking about certain things than other things, and some of those other things are more important than the certain things I'm comfortable talking about. Get off your hobby horse. Say, okay, I'm fixating on these things when I should be preaching the gospel. I'm fixating on opinion and insight and worldly wisdom when I really need to do is present Christ purely and simply and truly and powerfully and transformatively. You need Jesus. Yes, Lord, I need Jesus. Now I can say to you, so do you. Can we seek him together? Can we? That would be a great partnership, wouldn't it? I mean, what do you think about Paul in the rain? Do you think Paul was never in the rain? Do you think he was never in the snow and sleet and ice and cold and extremity of weather? You think he was never out on the streets looking for those he could save? Huh. I should convert to God's plan. I should convert to God's values. I could convert from my selfish desires to his desires for what he wants to achieve by grace to his glory and wants to do it through me. Look, the boldest, bravest thing I might do on a certain day is simply get out of Jesus' way. Just get out of his way. What does Jesus want? What does Jesus want me to do? There is no obstructionist in the world worse than me. Or as Paul put it, of all sinners I am chief. Wow. Paul said that? That homeless man? That man in the rain? Let me quote you from Scripture, because even though I've tried my best to phrase these things on my heart, this is what the Word of God says. Luke 9:23. And Jesus said to all, check it out. Jesus didn't say to his closest friends. He didn't say it to his disciples. This is what he said to all. If anyone, okay, are you in that bracket? If anyone would come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross daily and follow me. For whoever would save his life will lose it, but whoever loses his life for my sake will save it. For what does it profit a man if he gain the whole world and lose or forfeit his own soul? Listen, whoever is ashamed of me and of my words, of him will the Son of Man be ashamed when he comes in his glory and the glory of the Father and of all of his angels. Now listen. He's coming. Count on it. Count on it. Let your life be changed, because someday you are going to stand before him and say, I chose to deny myself and pick up my cross and follow you. And he will smile and say, come into the joy of your Father. Well, what do you want? What do you really want? I want you to so hear the Word of God that you're willing to make a spectacle out of yourself. Paul says, we are fools for Christ. Well, we could use a little of that, don't you think? Why are you doing this? Well, because I'm a fool. Well, why are you a fool? I'm a fool because of Jesus. I'm a fool because he tells me that you are more important than I am. I'm a fool because God's desires for you override every ambition in my heart. I want to see Jesus. I want to see Jesus. I want to see you make more of a spectacle out of yourself. Be a fool for Christ. This is what Paul said, to this present hour. Do you know what that means? Even right now. We hunger and we thirst. We are poorly dressed and we are buffeted and we are homeless. And what was said at the church meeting yesterday several times, it really harmed me, harmed my carelessness, harmed my foolish confidence in this world. We have brothers and sisters who would be grateful to have a piece of cardboard between them and the weather. We have brothers and sisters who are under the threat of death, who have to hide and run and seek sanctuary. We have brothers and sisters who are dying today. We are so too comfortable. We labor, says Paul, working with our own hands. When reviled, we bless. When persecuted, we endure. When slandered, we entreat. We have become and still are like the scum of the world, the refuge of all things. Have you decided to follow Jesus? Have you heard his call? Don't worry about your reputation. Worry about mine. Don't let my love be slandered in the marketplace. Don't let my peace be degraded. Don't let my truth be mocked. Don't let my kingdom suffer setback. My kingdom, he says. Well, I knew I was in so much trouble when the Lord shredded my sermon. But beloved, I want you to start thinking about which side of the aisle you're on. I want you to take a look at your life and see who it is that you're avoiding in the marketplace, in the life that you're living. Who are you going all the way around the store to have nothing to do with? And repent. Stop avoiding. Stop evading. Stop running. Start witnessing. Start sharing. Start loving for Christ's sake. I want you to know that I am aware that following Christ can cost us everything. I am aware that following Christ is not convenient. But let me say this to you. Church is not about what you can find time for. It's not just something that you can do. It is something that you are. Praise the Lord that we have this opportunity, this glorious opportunity. How many of you have forgotten that you are a servant of the Most High God? I have done my best to remind you. Please let me know how I did. Really. We are servants of the Most High God. We are his disciples. Okay, let's follow him. I love you. May God bless you. May the truth of this prick you. May you bleed and heal and find wholeness. Amen.